Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. In some sense, this is a continuation of the discussion we were just having in New Orleans after Katrina.
In many ways, absolutely.
People felt completely unprotected, not so much because of the forces of nature that were against them, but the law enforcement that essentially declared war on the civilian population in some cases.
In some instances.
And the Danziger Bridge case is really all about that. Well, consider this for a moment. If you lived in a country that had, depending on how you calculate it, one of the highest murder rates in the world, okay?
Right.
And that the victims of those murders were predominantly women or largely women, or 5,000 of them were women maybe last year.
Right.
But only 2% were ever prosecuted, you might want to leave that country.
Right.
You might
want to. And never go back. Right.
Indeed. Well, that's the situation in Guatemala. And in a court case that may have implications for people seeking asylum throughout the world, Alan Hutchinson, a lawyer in this particular case, has argued that feeling unprotected in the nation of Guatemala may be reason enough for women to seek asylum in the United States, and the U.S. May be compelled to allow them in. Alan Hutchinson joins us from Reno, Nevada. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Let's talk about the specific facts in this case. You represented a particular woman who was trying to avoid deportation and was using this argument of the murder rate and this sense of being unprotected in Guatemala as a reason to stall the deportation. Do I have that about right?
Well, yes. Not stalling. This was an actual defense. But this particular woman had come to the United States when she was 14 years old, and she's now in her mid-30s. So she's basically, for all practical purposes, an American, and was facing removal back to Guatemala.
Now, some might say that she's been here for a long time. I mean, her fear of being murdered in Guatemala might be a little bit abstract. How would you argue?
Well, actually, her cases are much higher because Latinas who lived in the United States for a number of years, even though they speak Spanish at home and watch Spanish TV, when they are sent back to their home country, as soon as they open their mouth, they're recognized as Americans. They all pick up a little Spanglish, and their dress is just a giveaway. And if you're an American, you're rich, and you're subject to robbery. But in Guatemala, you're subject to rape, mutilation, and murder.
And is the grant of asylum real here, or is this just a deportation order that's been revoked?
No. Well, actually, we now call it removal. In this particular case, the young woman came here as a teenager with her mother. Her mother filed an asylum claim based upon the murder of her husband in the market in Guatemala City. The immigration court said that was basically a criminal act. It did not grant, it was not a basis for asylum, which is normally based on your politics, your race, your ethnicity, or whether you are members of a particular social group. And if you're a teenager and you're listed on your mother's asylum application, when you become 21, you're now an adult and you must file your own asylum application if you want to remain in the United States. In that case, this is what Leslie Perdomo did.
Right, right.
But she had never suffered any persecution in Guatemala. Persecution is the word we use in asylum law, and that's distinguished from harassment and discrimination. But under asylum law, if you have a well-founded fear of future persecution, that's grounds for a grant of asylum.
And that's the argument here. Now, can you see here a precedent where basically all women as a social group in Guatemala could be granted asylum in the United States because 5,000 women have been murdered in that country over the past 10 years?
No, and that was the argument made by the government in opposition, that this would open the floodgates. Basically, this decision applies to the many, many Guatemalan women who are presently living in the United States. The vast majority of them came here at the height of the Civil War in Guatemala, 1998, 99, 2000. They filed asylum claims. The process goes very slowly. It took, in many cases, close to 10 years before they got a hearing in court. And in most cases, they lost their asylum case unless they could prove past persecution. So there are a number of women facing removal back to Guatemala now in the United States. And I think it's primarily going to affect those.
All right. Alan Hutchinson, you argue this case and won it in the U.S. Court of Appeals. Does it go to the Supremes?
I don't think so.
Right.
It actually goes back to the Board of Immigration Appeals, which is a special board within the Department of Justice, to make a new decision in conformance with the opinion of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
All right. Talking about a possible precedent-setting case regarding grants of asylum to women in Guatemala, which has one of the highest murder rates in the world. Alan Hutchinson, a lawyer in that case who won it in the Court of Appeals. Thanks so much, sir.
You're very welcome.